This is a great day to be gathered together in worship, and for those of you who do not know, today is Senior Appreciation Sunday. Now, normally we have this event in the activity building in the evenings, but since we are not meeting, we will have the slideshow, and we will present those seniors after worship this morning. And so I would start off by saying the sermon may be shorter. Nobody riot. I know everybody hates a short one, but it will be a little bit shorter, and when we are finished, we will begin the presentation for the seniors. This morning, although however fitting it may be for seniors, what I wanted to talk about really can apply to all of us. X marks the spot. So you have a treasure map. It's a famous saying. You know that's where your treasure is. You're looking for the X. You have a map, and that's what you're hunting for. That's what you're striving for. Now, if you put your X as a Christian on worldly things, there you will have your reward. You will have your worldly rewards. If you put your X on heavenly things, on spiritual things, there you will see where your treasure is stored up. So I have a quote for you here. There's a British filmmaker, and I was... we got a little flashing going on down here. So there's a British filmmaker by the name of Peter Greenaway, and I really was interested in the quote that he had. It says, "I've always been fascinated by maps and cartography. A map tells you where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. In a sense, it's three tenses in one." And so as I read that a little bit more, I started to think that how closely that applies to what a Christian could do when looking at the Bible, if using the Bible as a map. So when we read the Bible as Christians, we see who we were or where we've been. We see that we were separated from Christ. We see that we were fallen short and we were hopeless. We were doomed for an eternity without God. So then you also see where you are now. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, you see that we are redeemed. We are now a child of God. We are a new creation, and we are now heirs with Christ. And finally, we see where we're going. We see a place with no tears, no sorrows or pain, a place that Christ is preparing for us, and an eternity with the Creator of all things. So this morning, I just wanted to point out three things that, again, as they would definitely apply to a senior, good advice going forward. Fortunately, they apply to all of us. The first one is watch out for detours. They don't always lead you in the path that you want to go if you're not very careful. You can be easily sidetracked from ever getting back on the right path. And the enemy loves detours. So if any of you are familiar with the Tulsa area, you know that there's never a day when less than 50 streets are being worked on, or highways or whatever. And you turn and you know, with this deal trying to get on I-44, which way do you go and what times and good luck. So this story has never come out before because, as I would mention here in a minute, we don't like asking for directions, especially the men or the head of the household. We just feel like it makes us a little bit weak. And so we see detour. And I was driving through Tulsa a few years back, and I had somewhere to be, and I honestly don't remember where I was going. All I remember was I didn't get there the way I planned on getting there. So I hit a detour, and I thought I was following the signs right. Somehow, by looking up and trying to figure out, well, where am I going, and I had found a detour sign for another route. So I thought, there's my detour. I'm going to follow that sign. And I ended up totally where I was not going. And luckily, as I started veering away, something hit me and I could see around me, this is not somewhere that I needed to be, and I need to recheck what I'm doing here. So the same thing can happen to us in our lives as Christians, where we miss one sign. If we make one wrong choice, we begin on a path that's not necessarily the path that we're supposed to be on or that we should be on. And does that mean that you can't get back to your final destination? It does not. But the more detours that you take, the bigger chance for you to end up missing your final destination that you originally intended to be on. So, again, you also don't want to ask for directions because we just got to act like we know everything. Same thing happens with us as Christians. We think that we can't admit when we've made a wrong choice, when we've gone the wrong way, when we're on the wrong path. We can't admit that we might need some help. We need some redirection. And the detours often take us on paths that are not necessarily smooth. They can be more dangerous for us, not only physically. I mean, you've got potholes the size of Texas all over the place, usually around those detours that they're trying to fix. But even spiritually, you can be led down a path or you can go down a path, make the wrong choice, and spiritually encounter some very large dangers. So I would direct us to Proverbs in the 4th chapter, starting in verse 20. There's some good words here about how you should steady yourself going forward. Starting in verse 20, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Continuing in verse 24, "Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." There are so many icons, public figures, ideologies that would just love to steer us as well as our young folks in the wrong direction, to lead them down a path that says to look out for yourself, that says a little bit of this isn't going to hurt you. Going a little bit farther out this way, you can still make it in the end. You got to try this. You got to take this path at least once so you can say you did it. And not all of us have such a great willpower that once you get to that point, you can definitely turn back. We're thankful to have brothers and sisters in Christ that help to keep us accountable, that help to notify us when we seem to be veering off course. Wouldn't it be nice to have just like a little Garmin, maybe not with the same voice, but just redirecting, recalculating. You're still going the wrong way. You got to get back to the main road. But we don't have that, but we do have each other. And we have the Word of God that we can hide in our hearts, that we can keep close to us, and keep our eyes fixed on the path that we want to take. Is this the way that I need to go to continue my walk with Christ? Secondly, come back home if you're lost. One of the things that some may struggle with is the idea that I'm too far gone. You may remember the story of the prodigal son that wanted to have all the pleasures of life, wanted to have his inheritance early, go spend it all, enjoy himself. He soon ran out of money, ran into many issues. But the things of this world, those flashy things, those tempting things, are going to leave you on the wrong path, and they're going to leave you unfulfilled, just as they did him. So the prodigal son wanted things his way. His life was ruined, and he thought he could never go back. He came to the idea that if I could just be a slave to my father, maybe that'll be enough. Because right now I'm hungry and I'm in need and I'm in want. So in Luke chapter 15, in verse 14, it says, "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he had begun to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs." So he's trying to, afterwards, ran out of everything. So he decides, I got myself in this mess. I've got to get myself out. And turns out he wasn't able to get himself out of his own mess. But sometimes we think we have to fix our own problems. We don't. It's not easy for us to reach out and say, I've made a wrong choice. Can you help bring me back? So in verse 17, we read on, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I'm here starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So in verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But pay attention to this part here. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. When we are lost, when we are going in the wrong direction, you may even just speaking to the seniors this morning, you've got this great idea about what your future is going to hold, your path. This is the degree I want, or this is the occupation, this is the career path I want to take. And you start going that route, and it leads you down roads. Maybe that didn't work out, so you've got to make some alternate choices, and you continue going in a place where you finally realize, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Don't ever get to the point where you think, well, now I've screwed up so bad, if they find out what I've done, if they find out the bad choices that I made, they're not going to want to accept me back home. And so the stamp now that we have and that our God has is, come home. If you find yourself in a place that you don't want to be in, that you know you shouldn't be in, don't stay in that place because you think that you won't be accepted back here and that God cannot bring you back. The third thing that I want to talk about is all the king's gold will not get you into heaven. Don't lose sight of the ultimate goal. As Christians, our goal is to be united with the Father in heaven for eternity. That should be our ultimate goal. It shouldn't be to have every degree that the world has to offer. The goal shouldn't be to have the largest house that the world has to offer or the most money to compete with the rich elites. Now, if along your path you get all the degrees, you find yourself acquiring wealth, you find yourself in a position of high standards, there is nothing in and of itself wrong with that, but it depends on where your hope, your trust, your faith is, and where your priorities are. What does it become an idol? Is that your sole purpose? Also, I would remind you to give credit where credit is due. In a world that wants you to take all the credit yourself, give God the credit when you realize that He's blessed you. It's very easy when bad things happen for us to pray for that we are relieved from this struggle, relieved from these trials. And when we are, we're glad. But do we ever turn back and thank God for those answered prayers? And use your successes in life or your failures as a way to boast in God. So if you're successful and you're having a great life, we can praise Him. We can bless Him. We can let others know. We can honor God in the things that we have and the way that we utilize those things that we've been blessed with. And in the same way, just as Paul found ways to rejoice and continue rejoicing when he was under house arrest or in prison, when you go through failures and you lean on God, He is our strength even in our weakness. So I would remind us, looking in Matthew chapter 6, to think about where we're storing up our treasures. Are we amassing a great wealth physically for us here so we can prosper, or are we prospering in the kingdom of God? In verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And finally, I want to leave us with this as far as when we think about our lives and what things the world tries to tell us what we're entitled to do and what we are owed and what we should get to take part in. But we know that with Christ, through His sacrifice, we are gifted with an eternity with Him as long as we follow what He says. And the things of this world will be our reward in and of themselves, if that is all we trust in. So Mark chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Now, there's a quote that I want to read, and some of you may have seen it, and some try to attribute it to Mark Twain, and there's a lot of controversy over who it was. Some say it was a minister from New York. But nonetheless, it reads, "The two most important days in your life are the day that you're born and the day you find out why." And as a Christian, when I read this, I think, when you find out what your purpose is in Christ as a Christian, what we're called to do, what He commands us to do as a child of God, that's where you find your importance. That's where you find your value. Not in the physical things of this world, but by keeping your treasure stored up in heaven. Don't forget what you're here for, who you belong to, and where you're going. This morning, if you found yourself on a detour in a place that you didn't intend on going, if you find yourself storing up your treasures in earthly things, needing to find your way back to Christ, just know that He is ready to accept you back either again or for the first time. And if there's anything that we can do for you, we ask that you would come as we stand and sing.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I come to Thee.
Please be seated.
This morning, the way that this is going to work, I will begin reading the biography for the seniors. And when I am finished, you may come up and collect. We have some things for you. This church is, as we all know, is so giving, and we are so grateful for the loving family that we have that is willing and able to help supply us as we go to events, as we have needs arise in all areas of the church, but also for this occasion. We have cards, and many prayers and thoughts have gone out. So after I read your biography, senior, if you would come up for the ones that are here, and I will hand you your gifts, and we will honor you at that time. Sydney Ann Dunn was born in Tulsa on February 9th, 2002. She almost died at birth as Stephanie's placenta began to detach during labor. As her heart rate dropped, the doctor quickly brought her into this world, but she was not breathing. Her first Apgar score was a 1, on a 0 to 10 scale, because she had a faint pulse. Thanks to God and her medical care, she soon was breathing normal and doing well. At her first appointment with the doctor after taking her home from the hospital, we asked her nurse if the difficulties at birth might cause cognitive damage long term, and the nurse reassured us we would be fine. She would be fine. In fact, she predicted she would be valedictorian. That statement brought comfort to two worried parents and proved almost prophetic as Sydney graduated 6th in her class with a weighted GPA of 4.6. As a young child, Sydney was quiet, compliant, and content little girl. Her sweet personality led her to be dubbed the most nearly perfect child by her grandpa Everett. She attended Pratt Elementary for kindergarten, then first and second grades at Park Elementary, where Stephanie was teaching, then Pratt for third, fourth, and fifth grades, and then in sixth, she began playing the clarinet in band and then saxophone in seventh and eighth. In high school, Sydney enjoyed competing in speech and debate. She was a natural as she qualified for regionals and received first place on her very first speech. She excelled in debate and was a state finalist her junior year. Her father believes she honed these skills at home through the years, so he takes partial credit for her success. Sydney has enjoyed many years of VBS, LTC, and church camp. Her parents' proudest day came on August 9th, 2014, when she submitted her life to Christ and was baptized. Through the years, Sydney has enjoyed time with her big sister Liz and her little sister Abby. She has had close friendships with Natalie Anderson her entire life and Jenna Hendricks since she was in the fourth grade. For the past couple of years, she is often found spending time with her boyfriend, Josh Ivy. She is an honor graduate and was recently named an Oklahoma Academic Scholar, which requires an unweighted 3.7 GPA or higher and at least a 27 ACT score. Sydney has received a scholarship to her dream school, Tulsa University, and will begin her journey there in the fall, majoring in psychology. Sydney came into our lives as a wonderful answer to many prayers, and we could not be more proud of this young Christian woman. We believe her future is very bright, and we thank you, her church family, for every way you have been a part of her journey to this great milestone. Elliot and Stephanie Dunn. Sydney Ann Dunn, a graduate of 2020. Congratulations. On July 4th, 2002, Esai Leatherman came into this world with a bang. We should have known then that he was going to be a firecracker. Strong-willed, fiercely independent, and slightly mischievous, he always kept us on our toes. His favorite response to our offers to help him with anything since the age of about two was, "No, I do it." And most of the time he did. On a rare occasion, he did have to accept help. You could see the disappointment on his little face. As you can imagine, this self-reliant, ornery attitude got him into more than his share of trouble, and having an older brother as an accomplice helped, I'm sure. It was only during these events that Esai was happy to accept help. One of my first and favorite memories of the two of them working together happened when Esai was about three and Miguel was four. The boys were always early risers, but on this particular morning, they had woke up at about 4 a.m. And because of the "no, I do it" attitude that Esai did everything with, he decided that he and Miguel could make breakfast without having to wake mom or dad. And wouldn't you know, they wanted oatmeal. They made it to the kitchen and proceeded to empty an entire container of Quick Oats into the bottom of my oven, which, thankfully, the knobs were still too high for either of them to reach. Once the oatmeal was cooking, they added a full bottle of Hershey syrup to the oatmeal that is now falling into every crevice of the stove and onto the kitchen floor. Once Esai was sure breakfast was ready, the boys decided now they would wake mom and dad. So they tromped through the oatmeal and syrup, leaving tiny syrup and oatmeal footprints through the entire house. As awful as chocolate syrup is to get out of tan carpet, this will always be one of my favorite memories of Esai accepting help and the boys working together. I'm grateful God gave Esai his no-fail attitude and the determination to back it up. I know whatever he chooses to do with his life, he won't stop until he succeeds. God has truly blessed Paul and I with all of our boys, and I treasure every messy memory. We love you, Esai. You make us so proud every day. Esai Leatherman is graduating from Charles Page High School and plans to enlist in the United States Army. Esai? Congratulations. Jaden Skyler Wayne Reed is the son of late Ron Reed and Ryan and Amanda Smith. He is the grandson of Pam Brott. Jaden has gone to school in Prue for the last 10 years and has played football, basketball, and baseball all during his high school. He will be attending Oklahoma University in the fall and majoring in criminology, where he hopes to become a game warden or Oklahoma highway patrolman. Jaden Skyler Wayne Reed. Congrats. We got one more thing for you. Amen. Jenna Louise Hendricks, born January 13th, 2002, loves learning and being in musicals. She started her musical career at Park Plaza Church of Christ Music Camp 12 years ago and recently qualified for International Thespian Festival with a superior grading in musical solo. She was honored for Oklahoma Symphony League Leadership Training for Christ and Sand Springs Community Theater. Jenna will attend Oklahoma Christian University in the fall, where she will study biology and minor in either vocal music or theater. She would like to thank everyone for the prayers, love, and support through the years, and especially through her hard time being sick in the last few years. Jenna? Natalie Paige Anderson. Natalie is the daughter of Joe and Jeanette Anderson. She was born in Tulsa on August 13th, 2001, just 3 days before her brother Michael started kindergarten. It was an exciting time. From the beginning, Natalie has always been a happy person, kind-hearted, continually looking on the bright side of things. She loves to make friends and always has a smile on her face. She began sports activities at the age of 5. Over the next few years, she participated in a local cheer organization, dance at Miss Tarita's dance studio, and gymnastics. Natalie attended Pratt Elementary through 5th grade. She joined the band, playing the trumpet in 6th grade, and began participating in both concert band and jazz band in the 7th grade. She was active in band activities through the 11th grade. Natalie also joined cheer in the 6th grade and has continued throughout high school. She enjoyed cheering at football, basketball, and cheer competitions. She was easy to spot at the football games, cheering on the sidelines, and then marching the halftime show with the band in her cheer uniform. She juggled the challenges of participating in both band and cheer throughout high school. At the same time, she was a member of National Honor Society, took AP classes and concurrent classes at TCC. She will graduate with honors in the top 5% of her class. Natalie was baptized on July 17, 2016. She participated in LTC since 3rd grade and has been an active member of the youth group. Over the years, we've enjoyed family vacations of all kinds. We've been coast to coast and from national parks to amusement parks. Natalie especially enjoys the trips that involve beaches or amusement parks. She is adventurous and would ride a roller coaster over and over all day long if she could. We've enjoyed our time together and made lots of memories along the way. Natalie will be attending Oklahoma State University beginning in the fall of 2020. She plans to major in health sciences and pursue a career as a nurse practitioner. We are very proud of Natalie and look forward to an exciting future ahead. Natalie Anderson. Susanna Bell Kaufman, born December 30th, 2001, loves theater, music, and dancing. She's excited to start a new chapter of her life at the University of Central Oklahoma to study business and theater. Susanna is involved in numerous things in high school as a thespian society member, theater, choir, and was president of the improv club. She would like to thank everyone who has helped her reach where she is today on this journey, especially her family that gave her a home, love, and support that has helped her in so many ways during this strange time. Susie? Corey Richard Waller was born on November 19, 2001, to Tori and Diana Waller. Although he had a rough start, spending 2 weeks in the St. John's NICU, he has grown to be a strong, healthy, and kind young man. He has two brothers, Cody and Dylan, one sister, Michaela, two sisters-in-law, Brittany and Maddie, and one niece, Paisley. Family has always been very important to Corey. He is currently in a band with his brothers and his uncle, Dustin Waller. Corey has been involved with the Sepulpa High School band drumline for 4 years. He has been concurrently enrolled at the high school and Central Technology Center for 2 years and will be certified in electromechanical systems upon graduation. Corey was born into the Sand Springs Church of Christ congregation and loves his church family very much. Upon graduation, Corey plans to attend Central Technology Center to obtain his ASC certification to become an automotive mechanic specializing in engine rebuilds and electrical systems. Corey Waller. Congratulations. Bella Rose Snyder. Bella has been a Sandite since kindergarten. She has been a cheerleader, a football manager, a member of FCCLA, and the National Honor Society. Bella is a daughter, a sister, a friend to many. You can't help but love her. She will be attending the University of Tulsa in the fall with aspirations of becoming a pediatrician. Congratulations, Bella Snyder. Bella, and then also Cale Dickens, Gene and Heidi Dickens' son, is graduating from Booker T. Washington, and they are both not here with us today. There will be a slideshow, but first I just want to say I'm thankful for the youth as they are growing. These seniors are special. For the ones that are here, if you wouldn't mind coming back up one more time just so we can snap a quick photo of you up front. We'll get that before we finish, and then we will have the slideshow. But this has been a great opportunity for me, and actually tomorrow makes the one-year mark. And so we've had roller coasters up and down, but through our flood events and through all of this, we've had a lot of help, and these seniors played a vital part in helping our youth group get involved in this church. And so we're very thankful for them, and our best wishes are with you, and we will always be here for you should you ever come back and visit. Amen. Now, if we can get the seniors just to come up real quick.